Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Fabulicious.
Fabulini. Wait, Teresa's dating someone.
Who? That youngin' that she was pictured with or a new man?
No, I think a new, like, Jersey Italian guy.
Hot.
Let me look.
Yeah, look him up. I think so, Melania is
good,
in...
It's going to be a good talking point.
Yeah, I think Melania's in Italy.
She and Gia are. I think all the girls are.
Oh my God, fun. I'm jealous.
Right? How'd they get that permit?
Yeah, how are they? I thought we weren't allowed to go to Italy.
Maybe because he's a citizen?
What is up with that? Okay, because like all summer, I feel like I've been told, and into the fall, I've been told like we're American, so we're not allowed to like actually cross foot and like set foot into any other countries. Wait, move it to the...
Do you see him? He looks like he's on Jersey Shore.
Yeah, I'm into it.
His name's Louis.
What does his shirt say? Does it say Mo Rose?
Yeah.
Okay, actually can die.
You can go but, jump off of...
I know, like literally swan dive.
Fall into a sinkhole.
A rat-filled sinkhole.
A rat king.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, so then all of a sudden I heard that we're not allowed anywhere, but then I just see people like going to other countries NBD. So is that a lie?
Yeah. I'm confused too, because I see like people casually in Europe right now.
Yeah.
Or like Tulum. And
yeah.
I'm just like,
oh yeah.
Okay.
Mexico. I've seen a lot of people go off to Mexico.
People. By the way, this is Carrie.
This is Lara.
And you're watching.
We actually don't know. You're watching.
Oh my God.
I love it. I don't know. You're watching The Wall. You're staring at The Wall, wondering what the point of life is, but we're
you're watching The Wire.
You're watching The Wire and you're listening to TBD.
Sexy Unique Podcast. We're going to be recapping The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, baby. We're watching the, we can call it, we can do an on-air brainstorm. We can call it the Tough Tabernacles. Or like...
Tough Tabernacles. Reminds me of it, Tough Titties, and I'm literally just
tough
seeing
that's why I said it.
Huge nips right now. Like, tough nips.
Tough Tabernacles.
What? Mormon ladies.
The...
Good Mormon girls.
Good Mormon to you. Top of the Mormon to you.
Top of the Mormon. I don't want to type that out every time.
No. Salty ladies.
Salty ladies.
Salty queens of Salt Lake City. I don't know. Salty or salty Utah queens. How about just salty Utah queens?
Salty Utah queens is actually really good. They are salty.
Wait,
Utah queens.
Let's go back and then introduce it as
Okay, we'll go back. I want every... I think we should keep this in because it's really like a glimpse into the creative process of two geniuses.
Salty Utah queen.
Okay. Now, we'll... Okay, officially...
I'm Carrie.
And I'm Lara. And you're listening to Sexy Unique Podcast.
Salty Utah Queens. Hey, they are.
They really are.
They're a bunch of tough broads.
They are broadulent.
They are Western. They're
descended of pioneers, which
they are literal descendant, like ancient Mormon lineage.
Huge shout out to pioneers for pioneering just some truly crazy shit.
True shout out to Joseph Smith's bodyguard.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Howard Hughes.
Where were we?
We were just talking about...
Oh, COVID.
Were we?
We were talking about why are there so many people in Tulum right now?
Oh, yeah. Like, it really does seem...
The gays have taken Mexico by storm.
Yeah, Mexico is a gay hotspot. Always and has been, but now
always
more
has
than
been.
Ever. And, yeah,
you can't stop. You can't stop the gays from group
trips. They can't be tamed.
They can't be tamed, and even in the time of a pandemic.
And even if you think, like, if you're listening and you're like, no, I know some gays, and like they're being totally low key and like not doing anything. Joke's on fucking you, because they're getting together and hanging out.
They're hanging hard.
I've fucking seen it.
There's.
I've been privy to some gay hangs, thank God, but not very many. And I can tell you, the gays are hanging.
The gays are hanging, and they're all hanging without you.
Yeah, they are. Straight ladies have probably. It's like I feel like COVID has driven gays and the women that love them apart. Like it's driven a wedge between them, and the gays have really found solace in each other. And women like me who depend on the love of gay men to survive have really just had to find it in my dog.
I'm sorry.
Tony is my new gay. He's like my one gay. And then I have like I'm really just like thirsting and hurting for gay hangs.
I know.
And so this is just a plea to any of our gay listeners. Think not just about yourselves right now, but about the women who need
the women in your life
that need
you. I've tried to give you that gay energy in this time as much as I can, but
yeah. And I know like we at least get to see each other on
once in a while and we hang in person like once in a while.
Yeah, we've like had brief hellos on a patio, but like I mean I'm fucking starved.
We had our park hang.
We did have a park hang, though. Tony
where we
was
saw
really...
a nameless celeb.
We saw an iconic.
I'm going to say it.
Yeah. Okay. Enough.
We saw
time
fucking
passed.
Jamila Jamil at a park. I won't say what park it was, but Lara and Simon and I saw Jamil and Jamila and her boyfriend and their dog. And she walked right by us and her mask was half off and she smiled.
And that I've seen her at that park multiple times and I've told you guys, I was like, Jamila is always at this park. And we went and sure enough, there she was.
She was there. She was there. Like it was one of those things when you told me, I was like, oh, that's cool. Like we probably won't see her. And we literally saw her within 10 minutes of being there. I was
trust
like, there's
me,
there's Jamila.
Jamila and I are on like a very similar that park wavelength. Like mm-hmm. We like magnetically draw each other to that.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't follow the same like Munchausen timeline of her, but like you follow the same like bring my adorable dog to the park timeline.
Absolutely. And to be quite honest, I'm shocked to see her even out and about in these COVID times, because I would think with someone like her who has suffered nothing but, you know, injury after injury and probably, yeah. And don't you think that she would have the most like pre-existing conditions that COVID would just love nothing more than to feast on? I would think that Jamila would be like caved up right now.
I know. I was like honestly kind of shocked, but that's none of my business. And
it's none of my business.
I'll leave that up to the real heads.
The gods. I'll leave it in the hands of fate. But I will say seeing Jamila out and about made me feel like I wanted to be a COVID denier. Because I was like, right, if Jamila's out just living, laughing, and parking, mask off, then...
Perhaps it points to another situation going on, but
it has little to do with
the actual pandemic and more to do with
her. It's either way, it's interesting. That's all I'm going to say. And if one...
Oh, it was for sure shocking.
Whichever one is not true, it makes the other one true. So you guys do the math. I don't know. Yeah. We're not doctors. We're not scientists. We're just reporting what we see.
We're two wily reporters hot on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like true gossip. Like I wanted to send a tip in when I saw. Like I've seen a lot of celebs in LA since I've moved here, and I've never wanted to send a tip in more than when I saw her. But I didn't.
You did take a low-key pick. I loved that.
I did.
We'll always have that beautiful... We'll always have the pick.
I did, but I would never share.
No. Just
anyway.
That's our
but yeah,
experience.
Gia and I think all the girls are there.
I love that for them. Where does he live? He lives in like...
Santa Cruz.
Oh, he's back in the true motherland.
I think the city they're closest to is Milan. But, the city they're closest to is...
Florence?
No, they're Naples? In Naples.
Napoli! I think they're in Napoli. Okay,
like
that
Southern
makes sense,
because
Naples is kind of like a... Naples, I believe, is a mafia hotspot. I don't know. This is based on just TV that I've watched. Yeah. This is based on
any, we're not
me
making
watching
any...
The Godfather and My Brilliant Friend, and then deducing right now... In the little bit of Jersey Housewives, for me to declare that Naples is the hot spot of mafia activity.
Napolini. Perhaps they'll stay there if the country shuts down again.
I think that they should. I think it's a great way to broaden their horizons. I would encourage them to learn Italian. And like, I could see them just being fabulous. I mean, they're going to be fabulous no matter what country they're in, but... I would love an Italian sojourn for them. And honestly, I hope one of the Giudice girls becomes an Elena Ferrante and writes about her time there.
Maybe one of them will like fall in love with like an Italian prince.
That would be iconic. I would love anyone who's making My Brilliant Friend, if any of the crew listens to this podcast, you need to cast one of those girls as like a bit part.
I mean, you got to have Gia. Melania is like...
Melania is a born actor. Yeah, she is actually Italy.
Gia, I read recently, is a registered Republican.
Mm.
Not that matters, but...
I'm not surprised. I think that they're all fairly Trumpy.
Yeah. Well, Teresa was on The Apprentice.
Yeah. And honestly, it's weird. Like, I don't hold it against them. I expect it, and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Hmm. But yeah, I wish Tree well in her new romance.
Hmm.
And she's getting railed by Louise.
Italian beef.
Yeah, and I hope the
having
girls
a fun time their... while the girls are away.
Yeah, she's totally going out all the time, mask free.
Wouldn't you? If I was Teresa and I just got out of jail and my husband that destroyed my life was in another country taking care of my girls, I would be going buck fucking wild right now.
Yeah, like ecstasy.
COVID be damned. I'd be like, yeah, popping Molly, partying like it's 1999 and just taking it from all angles, from every hot young Jersey Italian man I could swing.
Like four... You're the mother of four children.
You have your whole life ahead of you. The girls are off in Italy with their father. And like now it's time to just
it's time to play.
It's time to get that soprasada.
Time to get that Italian pastrami. Time to get that salami.
Have someone eat your mortadella, if you know what I'm saying.
Have someone come and fry your panine. I want a panine.
Oh, my panine.
I haven't heard much of Danielle. Her kind of unhinged. She's been silent since her like unhinged podcast episode about Andy Cohen came out. Wait, she was like, we were the man we called daddy. That was the title of it.
Oh, you don't like survive long after an Andy Cohen attempted takedown.
No,
that's just facts.
She was like, she sounded pretty like unwell in that recording. I mean, she sounded unwell before, but I was just like
the cherry on top.
She sounded like Alex. She sounded like
Alex Jones,
Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction on that, when she's like, when Michael Douglas hears that tape and she's like, you know what you are? I bet you're a cock sucking faggot. You don't even like girls.
Wait, did
you remember that part? That was so scary.
I remember that part. I need to rewatch that movie because it's been a few years, but it's time for a revisit. Did Danielle only put out like one, but that was like the last episode she put out, or has she been consistently putting out content since then?
I don't know. The Stobheads listening, can you attest to that? Because I don't know. I feel like she did that episode and then like got some backlash because she was talking about like gays,
the god of the gays.
Well, she was
literally
talking about like
gay Zeus.
She was talking about like gays and their like drug habits and how it was a bad example for her son and like all this. Like she was
Danielle,
like,
yeah, she literally bit the hand that feeds her.
I know,
like she would be nothing without the LGBTQIA+ community.
I just heard snippets, but she was like, well, I would say that a man having masseuses and boys, a revolving door of young boys over for you know, drugs and sex is not the best example for his baby son. I was like, damn.
Says the woman who had Danny. Who was like,
come on.
Had literally Danny who? Provenzano?
Danny Provenzano around his teen daughters.
Yeah, and making her daughters like hug random bodyguards.
Yeah. Danielle is not to, we will not throw stones at either end, but like Danielle.
But also, she has no leg to stand on.
No.
To be making claims.
But
whatever.
But that's my only, but we need to talk about, guys, okay, we're going to be recapping The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We both just watched the new episode, the first episode. Like I saw people on Twitter freaking out about it and I was like, oh, it's because I saw the trailer and I was like, eh, it looks okay.
Same.
And then I started seeing people I really value their opinion being like, this is God tier Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, this is hype. Like I'm going to have to see this for myself. And I was not expecting what came because this takes Housewives to another strata.
Yeah, this is what we've all put in the work for and like what we've invested our time for as fans to like get back. Yeah, this is like what you get. Like this is what Vanderpump always should have been, what we thought we were laying the groundwork for.
Yeah.
But no, this is like everything. And you watched it and then texted me and you were like, you have to watch this show. Like it's so good. And then when Carrie tells me that, I listen and I watched it. And then we weren't even going to recap it, but I was like, there's just so much to talk about. We have no choice. It is our duty.
And we had several listeners message me saying, you and Laura please, can you recap Salt Lake City?
Social media demanded it. The fans demanded it. The sup heads demanded. And you know what? I love giving the people what they want.
So we're heading to Utah, guys, for the foreseeable future. I'm excited to do, I mean, we've done it with Vanderpump Rules, like you do it, but it's nice to do a show that we're all watching together.
Yeah.
Like we're all watching at the same time. Like it's rare that we do that. So I'm excited to stay in the present and also be in the future because this show is the future.
It is the future.
Of Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it is? It's the religious element. It's the Mormon element. It's just Utah is such a, it's so like no one really knows much about Salt Lake City. It's sort of a mysterious city to so many, including myself.
Mm-hmm. Utah, I think it just is really random. Like, I just drove through there when I went on a road trip with my sister, and I was both blown away but terrified. And I've come away from this show in Salt Lake City in general. I'm like, let's be real. Salt Lake City is actually, like, scary town. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, cozy and terrifying, which is a fun mix.
I drove through Utah 2 years ago on a road trip, and I was equally, like, scared, but I was also like, this, I could see why people would see this as the promised land.
It's God's country. It's so beautiful. And it's unbelievably pretty. so many different landscapes that are just like fully out of fucking control.
Yeah.
That if I were a pioneer, like, think about being a pioneer and you literally have to load your family into a covered wagon and pray that, like, your horses, like, don't die on the Oregon Trail. And yeah. I guess you're just, do you even know what you're searching for? Did they have maps back then? I don't know. But you're just, like, trotting along, getting bumped around in, like, a cabin, or not even a cabin, a covered wagon.
Yeah.
For days, months, maybe even a year, until finally you reach this, like, wild land that's unlike any other landscape you've ever seen. I too would be like, hey, I dug in the ground and found some rocks, and it's actually God talking to me, which I think is what that Joseph Smith guy did.
Well, two things. It does actually, when I was driving through, I kept thinking, like, wow, this actually does look like, I mean, I've never been to, like, the Middle East, you know, like, no, I've never been to, like, Israel. I've never been to Palestine. I've never, like, the biblical lands of the Bible. Yeah. And it actually, but from what I've seen of it, it really, Utah kind of looked like it. So I can see why they, like, thought. But Joseph Smith, I would say, if anyone's interested, another great podcast recommendation is The Last Podcast on the Left, which is a really cool podcast. They're pretty big, and they do, like, they cover scary historical things and murders and supernatural. But they did a 4-part intensive dive into the history of Mormonism. Ooh. And it takes a while to get through it, but it's so fascinating. They've all, like, done all their research, and it's a wild ride. Like, it's truly, Joseph Smith is insane. And he actually started in upstate New York.
Okay. Yeah. And so they had to leave because everyone was like, get the fuck out of here, Joe.
Yeah. They were like saying they were heretics.
Crazy for this, yeah. And so they had to go find. I mean, he's,
as we find out, as I didn't know this, but you really find out that Joseph Smith, his family, like, they were sort of into, like, I won't get too far into it, but they were into kind of like the occult. Him growing up, they were farmers, and they sort of worshiped the almanac, like the farmers' almanacs, and they were kind of into the mysticism and the occult. So he was, and they were sort of. They were a little bit snake oil salesman-y.
Yeah.
So I think, not to offend any Mormon listeners, because every religion is like snake oil salesman, but, or at least the beginnings of it, you kind of have to be a salesman, even if your religion's true.
The way I grew up, Southern Baptist, they have no bandwidth for anything outside of the teachings of Jesus Christ and the Bible. And I grew up being told, like, at a very young age, was like, Mormonism is a cult, like, blah blah blah, they're crazy. So that's, like, kind of how I've always viewed that religion. But
basically,
honestly, anyone that's in any religion is pretty nuts. And I like seeing these women who,
it's a diverse cast.
It's a diverse cast, and they're the ones who are, like, Mormon, like, I'm like, oh, I could hang out with these people. Like, I just think of Mormons as being like
coming to your door. But they're, well, no, there's a lot.
I just think of them as being like a bunch of girls in prairie dresses being married to, like, an old crispy looking man.
Well, that's like the Jeff. What's that?
That's
guy,
like,
who,
Big Love.
Yeah, that one guy. I mean, there's militant factions of it, I think, that are, like, not, most Mormons, I think, are not obviously like that. But I think every religion has, you know, an extreme offshoot of it, but the women on this show, I think, are pretty chill.
They're pretty chill on the big toss-up that you would expect the person to be a Mormon who's married to their grandpa's actually just, like, a Pentecostal, like, Christian. Oh,
Yeah.
So okay, I was like, so let's I get love in, let's that get into twist. It.
Well, so okay, so we got our cast of characters. We have first off, we have Jen. Her tagline is, "In this town, I'm Queen Bee and MVP."
Which is like, okay, Jen anyone Shaw. Can say that.
She's from Hawaii originally.
She's Tongan, Hawaiian, and Chinese.
And she's a former Mormon who's now married to a Muslim man, and she converted to Islam.
Sheikh.
So she's Sheikh. She has two sons. They seem really rich and really happy. And he's a basketball coach.
A football coach.
She runs a company.
And her company is like an event company? It's really unclear what she does. I'm like, where do they get their money from? Because they seem really wealthy, but I'm like, where is the money coming from?
I mean, they have a chalet in Sun Valley. Like, that's like some of the most expensive, like, ski prop, like, place resorts in the country.
Yeah.
In the world. So, like, Telluride, Sunvet, like, those are, like, Sundance. Like, those are, like, super expensive.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm like,
Where?
What's happening? Where? Is this event company huge? Like, what's going on? I'm loving it, but I'm also, like, I want more info. Yeah.
I like the mystery. I like that she... Well, the reason why she said she converted to Islam because the Mormon faith was not tolerant of her marrying a black man. And she felt she couldn't be in a religion that couldn't tolerate like her husband or her children.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she left. So there's lots of like different, everyone has a different relationship to Mormonism who are Mormon or were Mormon.
Yeah. And Jen has I like Jen's attitude. She really she gives me Kimora Life in the Fab Lane energy,
mm-hmm.
which is an energy that I've been craving for almost a decade now.
That was such a good show. She's like definitely going to be kind of, I think she's going to be the glue of the group, but also one of the main sources of drama.
She's one to watch. Mm-hmm.
I think she's going to be around for a few seasons.
Definitely.
We'll just say that.
I wasn't loving her, like, STD misinformation that she did to her sons. That I was like, wait, that's the only weird moment that I had was Jen talking to her youngest son. She was like, if you kiss someone, you can get herpes and maybe AIDS. I was like, that is only half true. And if I were Twitter, I would have to flag it for disinformation.
Yeah, that was troubling. And don't love like AIDS panic in the first 4 minutes of a show, like introducing someone. Her older son, who is, I believe, in medical school, was like, when she said that, he was like,
Mom,
that's not true. Like he caught her immediately, but it was weird.
But I like the way that her kids deal with her being that she's like, have you heard about sexting? And like the way they kind of troll her. I was like, I love these kids.
Yeah, she has funny sons.
Yeah.
She's one to watch. I was definitely the like STD thing was made me sort of dubious of her. But you know what?
But then she redeemed herself and I completely forgot about it. Like,
me too.
It was really only in rewatching the episode to take notes that I remembered. And then I was like, ew. But then I'm over it now.
Yeah.
I've forgiven and forgotten. Love Jen.
So next we go to Lisa.
No, Heather is next.
Oh, Heather's next. Sorry.
And wait, what's Heather's?
Her tagline is, just like my pioneer ancestors, I'm trying to blaze a new trail.
Oh, I love.
And when she means her pioneer ancestors, she literally means her pioneer
her
ancestors.
Her literal pioneer.
Heather is, we'll meet her cousin Whitney, who's one of the other housewives. But Heather and Whitney's family are related to Joseph Smith and Brigham Young's bodyguard.
Love.
He's like a superhero in the Mormon faith. So they're like a famous Mormon family. And she was married to a family called the Gay family, who you can tell this detail to.
The Gay family is Mormon royalty. And Heather married into the family and they made their money because
her ex-husband, because now they got divorced, but her ex-husband's fourth grandfather was Howard Hughes's chauffeur.
Oh, chauffeur.
And
okay.
Howard Hughes, by the way, had $11 billion in that time, which is insane. I looked it up.
Whoa, I just got like crazy scalp chills because that's like $1 trillion nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, he's insane,
but he left.
He was insane.
He left a ton of money to their family. So then they became like a really wealthy family. I love that. And also that's like, I would fully be a Mormon for life if that happened to my family, because I guess what Heather says is that like attaining perfection is a Mormon pastime, and Mormons believe that like the better of a Mormon you are, like the more rewards like you'll get
truly
in life.
Paymon
so that's
coin.
Actually their Paymon coins paid the fuck off from old Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes just was a fan of the Mormon faith because of this guy, and he just was like, he literally I think left like half of his fortune to this family.
But did he care about Mormonism, or was he more just like, I love my driver, I literally get in the car and you take me where I need to go?
No, she said he was a fan of the Mormon faith. Like he was tickled by the Mormons. So
he was like, love this for you guys, not for me, but here's some money and like live, laugh, love.
I love that. Such an eccentric billionaire move, it shouldn't be eccentric.
Honestly, that's kind of how I feel about people. Like, I'm trying more and more to adopt that feeling about like Trumpers, where I can be like, love that for you. And like, but I can't get quite to that level. But
I'm not
like,
there.
I love the love that for you outlook on like just other people that you're like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Because you don't hear that a lot, like a long, loyal, like, chauffeur or, like, an assistant or something gets rewarded like that. Like, that's, you hear about it sometimes, but, like, that's, like, someone would see that as, like, oh, just typical Howard Hughes being weird, leaving all his money to some, like, but it's, like, no, that's, he probably really loved him.
Yeah, for a man that literally lived like in quarantine for the last part of his life, his driver is like, you need that driver.
Yeah, but imagine becoming generationally wealthy from
Howard Hughes. That's a crazy story.
Anyway, so Heather is divorced from him, but she runs a very successful Botox and like esthetician company
called Beauty Lab, which I'm dying to try.
Me too.
I'm
worth $20 million.
To go into Beauty Lab and have her pluck and suck every bad part of me into Mormon perfection.
Heather is a kind of lax Mormon. Like she drinks, she offers champagne at her lab or her her shop for the
her laboratory.
I think she's like kind of like a cool, like a place where Mormons can go and like let their hair down.
Mm-hmm. They need a respite from being like so nice. Mormon all the time. Yeah.
Being really nice all the time.
And also I was like, she has three daughters and they go in for facials. And I was like, I'm obsessed with her daughters just getting like full access to the beauty lab.
Yeah. And what I liked was, it was cool that all the women have their own like company basically.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Like, they're all entrepreneurs. Heather looks wild.
She's, like, built like a linebacker, but, like, God love her. She's one of my favorites. I think she's my favorite woman, like,
she's my favorite.
That I could see myself hanging out with and having, like, a really fun time with.
Yeah,
and just being like, we get along, we care about a lot of the same stuff, like,
yeah,
you get it, and you're not, like, a psycho, and we can laugh, and, like...
She's really cute. She's, like, she kind of reminds me of Heather Thompson from Roni.
Mm-hmm.
She's like just, she's very unabashed. She likes to tell people, she tells us that she loves black people and loves homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm like, I'm down. I feel like we could watch TV together and have fun.
Her and Jen are, I think, the best friends of everyone in the group.
Yeah. Then we meet Meredith and her family. What's Meredith's tagline?
Meredith says, hers is bad. It says, jealousy is a disease, to which I say, get well soon.
Okay, well.
To which I say.
To which I say. That also is like, anyone could say that.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. But Meredith is like, she looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
She's 48 and she's married. She and her husband, her family is from Chicago. They're Jewish, I think. Mm-hmm. And they have recently relocated in the last like 7 years to becoming like bi-regional. Like they live in Chicago and Salt Lake
mm-hmm.
and Utah, or they live in Sun Valley or Park City.
Park City. Isn't Sun Valley in Idaho?
Yeah, you're right. Sorry. They live in Park City.
Park Siddle.
She owns a really successful jewelry
clothing
company?
Store? Yeah, I was like unclear on what exactly it is she owns, because she was like, we dress Charlize, Scarlett.
Rihanna.
And I was like, for what though? I think it's a store. But I'm sure we'll find out more. Her business is like popping off apparently, but it becomes very clear in the first like 5 minutes of meeting her that her family is somewhat in a dysfunctional place, because
yeah.
her husband Seth clearly hates his life, and her son Brooks, who's her 21-year-old gay son, literally is living in gay hell. He's taken a year off of going to college and he's living at home. But I feel like the parents, and from what I see, like this season on SLC, it looks like Seth and Meredith are going to get divorced or like at least separated. And I feel like Brooks is now having to be like the gay son that she can lean on for everything. But I don't necessarily think that that's like in his best interest.
No.
And he just, I'm like, that's a very specific kind of gay hell that he's in.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
let's pray
for
Brooks.
I'm praying for Brooks. Brooks, so she has three kids. Brooks is her middle. All her kids are like beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're a stunning family.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I was very into Seth, even though he wears his sunglasses like weirdly up on his forehead. I was like, why are they up so high? I don't get it. But
their
love
house
that
is
for
my
you.
Favorite. So yeah, Seth is, his company is still, he's starting a new company back in Chicago where they're from. So he's basically, it sounds like they moved here to be on the show. I think Meredith had like a, I think they had like a, their home away from home was in Utah, but I think, and that's where, but I think they like fully moved there like to be on the show. And I think that's why Brooks took a semester off, because I think he wants to be on the show. That's my theory.
Your theory. Okay. Yeah. Cause I was like, what is this store? Like, is her store only like seasonal? Like
it, she said it only, I think it only operates from like,
oh yeah. She said our busiest season is from.
Yeah.
December.
So it sounds
March.
Like they, it sounds like they live in Utah, because two of her kids are in college, or I guess all of her kids are out of the house now. But it sounds like her business was mainly operating during like the winter season. So now, but I just have a feeling they moved to be here like full time.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
I could see that. She and they all then embark on this like farcical hike where they like drive to a field and walk around it. And I was like, this hike freaks me out. I've thought about their hike so many times since Thursday. And like, it's like not a hike.
No, they go on a hike. The three of them go on the hike and they're driving, and Brooks looks out the window and he goes, oh my God, look at so many cows. Oh my God, there's so many cows.
There's
Dad,
so
when are you
cows.
Leaving? He's like, I'm leaving tomorrow, bud. And he's like, you're leaving tomorrow? Wow.
Wow.
And then they get to the snow and they're like walking around and they see like a dog footprint, like a paw print. And then they have no idea what it is. And it's like, it's a bear. Brooks goes, oh my God, is that a bear?
His dad is like, whatever it is, it's huge. He was like, you should have it attack you. Then you can get some viral followers. And Brooks is like, Dad, don't even joke about that. He's always telling his dad not to like make these dark jokes. And I feel like Brooks hates his dad because his dad is causing his mom a lot of distress, or like they're having a distressed relationship and he's much closer to his mom. And
yeah.
like this hike where they then linked arms and just walked around circles on a flat field on seemingly no path was like, that
yeah,
is
what
like,
was that?
What is that?
It was a walkabout.
It was a total walkabout. I wrote save Brooks.
Brooks also, Meredith goes, Brooks is taking time off from home, but now he has time to do my makeup. She goes, hashtag blessed. I was like, oh God.
I'm telling you, save Brooks. Save Brooks from himself and his family.
And his mother.
And his mother. Meredith says, it definitely is a calm place for me about Utah. Love that for her.
But there's clear, like, she's expressed, like, she's like, the husband's like, I'm definitely undersexed and overworked right now. And she was like, don't say that. That's embarrassing.
Who's cheating on who, though? Do we think that he's cheating or she's cheating or they're both cheating?
I think they're both cheating.
They both seem like they're getting their pride.
Maybe she's just cheating, though.
She could be. But they make it seem from like the coming this season that she's the one that's cheating because like he's like, you won't show me your phone, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like
they might just both be having he probably has like a second life.
Yeah. He seems like a second family kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Second life.
Life part deux.
Life part deux. So that's Meredith. Meredith is definitely the like kind of uppity one of the group or like the demure one. Like she's sort of the, I think they want her to be sort of the audience proxy because she's so neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to Lisa.
Lisa, what's her tagline?
Lisa says, when you take cheap shots, you always get a hangover.
Oh, yeah. That one was my favorite.
So Lisa's interesting. She's a Jewish New Yorker. She has like a total like, she sounds like she's on Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
She and her family, she's married to a man, they have two sons, and they own like several tequila businesses, but they're Mormon, and her family moved to Utah when she was in high school, and her family converted to Mormonism, and they became like radicalized.
Jewish by heritage, Mormon by choice. Lisa is extreme. I like can't put my finger on her because like I want to. Sometimes I think that she's chic, but then I see her house decor and it's like she has word art in like
she's
her
non-chic.
Son's bedroom.
She has hustle and grit over her son's respective beds.
Hustle over her like 3-year-old son's bed. Mm-hmm. When she went to go wake him up and she's like, oh, wake up. And he's like, he like was crying and I was like, honey, buckle up. This is about to get far worse than you getting woken up at 7:45 a.m.
And then she wakes her other son up and she goes, ugh, bad breath,
bad breath and bad hair.
So Lisa has a really tall, kind of slender man husband, but he's kind of sexy.
You're into him.
I am.
He scared me. He's like Walking Dead to me. Like he's like, you know those men who are husbands that are... Does he? He seems to me like there's sometimes I see someone's husband and you know like... I feel like this is a common thing where like the wife's energy and like vivaciousness just eclipses their very being and then they just become a stick figure man and you never know like what they're thinking or like feeling or doing in life. Like, and they just go through motions and like I guess live the rest of their lives that way. He is like that kind of man.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, I like, see that too.
How does that happen to you as a man?
He's either like a total dud or he's just like some partners are awkward in front of the camera.
Yeah, he's just a freak off the leash when the cameras aren't on.
Yeah,
he's like the most outgoing guy. He needs to learn how to step up his game because he scared me.
Well, I was scared of Lisa is probably my least favorite, just not because of what I'm about to articulate, but because of something she does later. But she takes her husband and her get in the Porsche and they drive to like a fast food like area where they hit up 4 different fast foods, like a Taco Bell, a Wendy's, a Crumb Donut and something else. And she's like, I don't cook. I don't make breakfast for my kids. Like, we only eat fast food and, like, takeout.
I was mad respect of that vibe because that's literally on, like...
I was into that.
Periods of
like, I was horrified darkness. By the fast food, like, four stop go.
Four drive-thrus was my equivalent of, like, going on an insane Postmates binge where I'm like, I need a cheese plate from this place, a bottle of wine from here, and a little bit of donuts for today and the next day. Like, I'll just, like, I've gone into, like, really dark corners of Postmates, and Lisa expressed that kind of energy for me in the scene, and I was like, okay, yeah.
No, I'm like, and my family was like, my family was at Cracker Barrel once, twice in, like, 12 hours, so, like, I'm all about, like, the nonstop hit up of places, but it was a little jarring.
It's unsustainable long term.
It's unsustainable for your two young children.
She goes, I need a Diet Coke from Sonic. And that was literally me in high school. I crave Diet Coke. Vanilla Diet Coke with extra vanilla from Sonic is truly the devil's treat.
Well, also, you know, they don't drink, so, like, if they need to get their rocks off by, like, ooh, we're going to be bad and go to fast food. Like,
we're going to spike our cholesterol through the fucking roof.
Yeah. The husband, like, what made me think he was a secret freak was he was like, I'm going to get two new tattoos.
Oh, yeah. He did say that. And that's when, yeah, maybe he is a little freak.
He was, like, freaky, trolling her a little, and she was going, no.
And also, when she goes, we own Vita Tequila, Ciudad Tequila, Ola Tequila, and are currently making a vodka. I was like, what are these tequila? I've never heard of any
might have
of those
heard of
tequila
it.
Brands.
She also goes, and we're working on a vodka. Like,
currently
the camera zoomed in.
Making a vodka. But, like, I love, like, Ola Tequila, Vita Tequila, Ciudad Tequila. It's like, these are non, like, why three?
And she goes, some people might care that I'm a Mormon and I own liquor stores, but that's good for them because I don't. And I was like, all right.
Okay. Seems get weird, that. But get that money, I guess, from Ola Tequila, Ciudad Tequila.
And vodka.
But so she owns, like, a luxury marketing company, too, and apparently she's the queen of Sundance.
Yeah.
So I guess she works with, like, lots of different chic brands and then just, like, lords over Sundance.
Yeah.
And if you want to get anywhere in life in Park City during Sundance, you better kiss the ring.
You better kiss Lisa's.
You better kiss her.
Sonic-y hand.
You better bring her a Route 44 Vanilla Diet Coke or
kiss
prepare
her
to
root.
Not get into Hyde.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting
into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Jen visits Beauty Lab.
Oh, right.
And her camo jacket with a fur collar is life to me.
There's a theme on this episode of everyone's afraid of glands. There's a very anti-gland stance on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And
no,
Jen goes in to get
her
sweat glands like removed.
No, she goes in to have Botox in her armpits, which just means you won't sweat out of your armpits anymore.
Oh, right.
But my big question is, where does the sweat go? Does it just, like, how does that work? I'm intrigued because I am a heavy sweater as well.
Me too.
And that looked like a great option, but I'm like, where does it go after that? So someone please answer that question. But yeah. Truly, gland hive, make yourself known and let us know what the deal is. Jen gets all the treatments at Beauty Lab and like even invents new treatments. And I love, like, I think that Jen doesn't really have a business.
No,
I think her business is now, she's like forming it and like it's going to be parties or whatever.
Yeah.
But I really think that she is just like a kind of trying to establish herself as this like wealthy tastemaker woman, which I love because she has a lot of time to just get procedures, right, which is truly all I ever want in life is time to get procedures, but time and money to get for them.
I think I forgot someone told me that Jen's husband is potentially was a malpractice lawyer before he became. So maybe he has like, because you make so much money when you do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what's going on there. Heather and Jen are like
wall friends. Yeah. And Jen reveals that she wants to throw Meredith a birthday party.
Mm-hmm. She's...
and then I love Heather goes, I don't know, because Meredith is really elegant. And it shows these like pictures of like elegant Meredith. And I was like, lol. But
yeah,
love Jen throwing Meredith a party she never asked for that turns out not to really be a party for her at all.
No, Jen's apparently known for her like outrageous parties, like with male strippers and just like lots of sexy elements.
Yeah, she kind of has Lisa Vanderpump energy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
She also, later when we see her party, there are maybe 15 people there.
Yeah, it's well, it's at her chalet. She has two homes. So, so it's at her chalet.
So maybe her chalet was so big the party looked small because
or it was like, just far to get to for people in Salt Lake.
So then we meet Whitney.
So Whitney is Heather's youngest cousin or younger cousin. Her tagline is, "This rose isn't afraid to handle a little prick," which I loved.
Yeah, that was good.
Rose, Whitney has a rose tattoo on her back, upper back.
She's obsessed with roses.
She is, we see her, we first meet her, she's walking down the aisle. She's like in a wedding dress in her backyard by a frozen pond, like a man-made pond, one of those like big McMansion developments. And she's getting remarried to her husband. They're renewing their vows.
She's been married to her husband, Justin, for 10 years. And
he's scary.
He
looks like Hereditary. He looks like the smiling guy in Hereditary.
He's a little bit scary, but I kind of like him too. They met having a torrid affair when they were both married to other people. And she's 18 years younger than him. And they met working at an office together and then embarked on an affair that no one approved of. She got pregnant, and when she was 5 months pregnant, they got married. And then I guess they were kicked out of the Mormon church because they both got divorced to marry each other. And everyone was like, these whores. But then now, 10 years later, they're laughing it up. And they're like, haha.
Yeah, I like their vibe. I liked their energy. I liked what Whitney was bringing. She's kind of giving, like, I've been through it all, and I'm going to laugh at it all now.
She is a real Mary from Selling Sunset vibe, but like when Mary like gets therapy and she's feeling like more confident, like that's like she'll be Whitney.
Yeah, they're crazy about each other. They seem like a real love match.
Mm-hmm. And my favorite moment was like the random cousin that stopped her on the stairs at the after party and was like, "Hey, I'm really sorry. Like, I really thought you guys wouldn't last, but you did, and so I was wrong."
And she goes, "Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you." I was like, that was a real like family, like a one of those weird family moments.
And Whitney just goes, "Thank you." And then she goes, "Yeah." Like, she goes, "Everyone." She basically is like, "We reinvited everyone because now everyone like gets it, and like the story's changed now." So everyone, I think the family's like put aside their Mormon, at least to her face.
Yeah, they're like, "You are both sluts. But you're not like you're not the evil sluts we once thought you were."
I just love that they're having it in their house, and like she goes up and changes into like Lululemon like spandex, and
she changes like, into workout clothes and like hits her little stripper pole in front of all her girlfriends, and Heather goes, "I'm losing my mind." It was cute. I was like, this
their
is
wedding
fun.
Looked really cold.
They're freezing.
Oh, Heather was wearing like a full white fur.
Yeah, I mean, it's Utah in like the winter.
But they
every
seem like
time they're outside, even like when they're indoor, outdoor, there's like you can see their breath. Like it's like frigid mountain time.
Yeah, it looks like a fun wedding though.
Yeah, happy for them.
Jen
goes driving with her personal assistant Stuart, and
her
I just
first
wrote,
assistant.
Is he okay?
I don't think Stuart's gay.
No. But
I'm
like
His deal?
What's his deal? He's her personal and business assistant.
She has three assistants, and he's her first. And she says that he knows everything from when her period's coming to like getting her tampons for her.
Part of me is like, is Jen one of those people that just like has money and assistance but doesn't really ever do anything, and she just needs like to berate an older man, like, because she literally just like verbally abuses him.
He seems a little cucky.
Yeah,
like cuckle.
He likes it, like he's there for it. He's literally like 48 years, he might be like in his 50s.
I wrote gay or sad.
Yeah,
is he, I was thinking, I was like, is he closeted? Is he like one of those Mormons who can't like fully come out, but like Jen knows he's gay?
Is he Mormon though?
I don't know. I don't think he's just like this like older guy that like is obsessed with her.
He just like wants to be in proximity to glamour.
Yeah.
He's like, all my life, all I've wanted is like a glamorous, to see some like shred of glamour. And then Jen came waltzing into town, and he was like, this is my ticket. And so now he's like, He's taking what he can get. Okay. I'm excited to learn more about Stuart because...
We're going to.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Jen is asking him about all the party details, and he mentions a big diamond ice sculpture. And I was like, immediately went to like Denise vibes when she threw her birthday party in Malibu.
Yeah, that was so weird.
I was like, what? Is it the same like tequila company? Then I started thinking like, what tequila company was that? That like Denise, like someone sponsored that. And then I was like, was it one of like Lisa's three tequila?
I literally became
that math woman meme looking at like all the numbers.
That's me every day waking up. I think ice sculptures are like a sign of something is off.
Ice sculptures are like truly, they're satanic in nature.
I will never like one. I will never be okay with one. And I will like, I did an ice luge once and that was fun, but I don't like ice stuff.
I wouldn't do an ice luge. I think that's beneath me, but I also never, I never got invited to anywhere where there was an ice luge.
Maybe, so
I think it's just, that, I'm a jealous hater.
That.
I'm a jealous
let's unpack
hater.
That.
Yeah, no, it's all me, but I love an ice sculpture. I'll be real and honest.
I don't.
The they country remind club me of like, girl and mm, me.
Yeah, you love that.
I live for like a huge over the top floral arrangement and an ice sculpture. Mm-hmm. And that's just a little bit about me.
My family, one time on Christmas Eve, our extended family didn't come because I think that none of them were talking to us. So I think we went to like this Italian, like it was like a famous old South Jersey, like.
You're like, we restaurant went to the brownstone.
Slash lounge. It was sort of like, but it was like a less nice brownstone. And I remember they had like meatballs bubbling and there was an ice sculpture. And I remember feeling kind of sad. But so I maybe equate that with.
Everyone like, has their own relationships to ice sculptures, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I just want like beautiful ice sculptures. Like I would love to just walk outside my apartment one day and then just see like ice sculptures everywhere.
Well, maybe someday that'll happen.
If I ever get married and decide to have like a massive wedding, there will be an ice sculpture.
Yeah.
As trashy as that is.
No.
Lisa and Meredith are besties.
The same.
Yeah, they're the same person. They are literally switched at birth twins.
There's this part where Lisa's like, everyone says we look alike and everyone asks if we're related. And there's one point where Lisa and Jen are like walking around, or Meredith are walking around Meredith's home, and they both stop and go,
I couldn't tell them apart. Like the first time I watched the show, I was like, who are they? Like, what are they doing? They're literally like of the same zygote.
Mm-hmm. So Meredith is having them over and then Jen joins them and Jen gets out of her car wearing... stilettos and right
yeah
like strappy stilettos
from the
full
heavens
banks of snow.
Mm-hmm. I
took a video of it.
It's that video changed me. The music of when she gets out and like stomps through the snow.
I'll play it. Terminator.
Honestly, that's like when the beat drops at the rave or like the song changes at the rave and you're just truly taken on like a total twist journey was her getting out of the car and the music that they had to that.
It's power. When you get out of a car in like 6-inch strappy stilettos in a blizzard.
You mean business.
You mean business and no one is going to fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
Except maybe these women.
Yeah.
So... the three of them kind of have like a little like girl hang. They have some drinks and they start talking about the party that Jen's going to throw Meredith.
Yeah. And Jen asks if Lisa remembers Heather from, I guess Heather and Lisa went to college together. And then Lisa says that she's like, doesn't remember Heather at all, but she heard that she was like, honor code wet and like flashed people.
She was a good time girl.
She was a good time girl.
Did they go to like Brigham Young or something?
They went to Brigham Young, which like, is that a real college?
Remember in Georgia Rule when Lindsay Lohan goes to Brigham Young and like those girls want to like shame her? Georgia Rule is a Mormon classic.
Is it pro-Mormon or anti-Mormon?
It's like Lindsay is living with Jane Fonda, who's not Mormon, like her grandmother, in this Utah town, and she's surrounded by Mormons.
Oh, I didn't even know there was like a Mormon undercurrent in Georgia Rule.
It's a wild fucking movie.
This is like some sister material, like that you can watch. Like
it's a good,
if
it's
we
a
were
good,
teaching a college course on the syllabus, we would say
Georgia
Rule.
Please
watch Georgia Rule.
It's a spiritual prequel. Mm-hmm.
Wow, I didn't realize. Was Georgia Rule just like underwritten or like exec produced by the Mormon Church?
It's directed by Gary Marshall. It's
a Gary Marshall joint, but it's like,
I don't know where it came from, because it's one of the wildest. Felicity Huffman in one of her most unhinged roles of all time. Someone pointed out recently that all three stars of that movie have been to jail, which I love.
True.
Jane Fonda is great.
Only.
It was Lindsay. I think it was like her last big.
That was like when it all came crashing down for her, because the head of like the studio or the production company that was like producing the movie wrote that note that basically said like, you never show up to work on time. You need to get your shit together and like publish it at large. Do you remember that? That like ruined her career.
It did. And I think Jane Fonda was having to do like come to Jesus moments with her. She would always have to be like, Lindsay, get your shit together. Like Felicity had no time for her.
Yeah, Felicity's like, I'm literally planning on doing a huge scam to get my daughters into college. So I'm just like trying to lay groundwork for my own illegal activity. Like, I can't take you on. And then Lindsay was beginning her descent into the Federation. Yeah. The descent that would lead her into the Federation's open arms.
I think it was probably Lindsay's like last role that paid like $5 million. And then she was like her last like A-list paycheck was probably Georgia Rule. But it's actually a good movie, and it's deeper than you think, but it's a wild movie, and I can't recommend it enough. But there's a part at Brigham Young that's wild.
Wow.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. A true Venn diagram moment.
Heather mentioned before with Jen that she and Lisa were like friends in college. So she's like known her for years socially, and like they used to hang and go to parties together. And then Lisa just completely Mariah Carey's her and is like, I don't know her.
I don't know her, but maybe I do know her, and she was like this whore that I think I might have known.
Jen was kind of like, not bad. I like that Jen was kind of like very obvious, like on Heather's side.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, nah.
Then we meet Mary.
Okay, guys, the last housewife, Mary.
They save the best for last, honestly. Mary is the crown jewel of Utah.
Mary's bringing you Danielle Staub plus Camille season one energy, and plus Alison Dubois.
Mm-hmm. Her fashion journey is truly sick. Like, she's going to turn out look after look.
I'm obsessed with her looks.
But also, I have a theory that, like... So, okay, wait. What is Mary's... First, what's her tagline? Because I couldn't understand what she was saying.
I love God, but I'll read you like a scripture.
Oh, okay, I love that.
Mary kind of looks like... she's had complete facial reconstructive surgery. Like, her face is very Skeletor. She wears, like, all designer clothes. And...
Only designer goods.
A little much. It's a little much on much.
It's a little too much, but it's like, but I love it. I want to see it.
Obsessed. Yeah.
I love this jacket because it makes me feel good, not because it's Dolce & Gabbana.
We meet her. She's meeting Whitney. They're buds. They're having a little lunch together. And Mary arrives in a, what is this jacket? Is that Versace?
I think it's a Versace jacket or like parka and yellow tights and a sparkly beret. And loads of, like, gold jewelry. So she is a, like the high priestess of her own Pentecostal church that like she started in Utah.
And it's called the Temple of Faith.
The Temple of Faith. And I think that in her religion, she or like she's made an edict for herself that she's not allowed to wear to show her legs because or her leg skin because she's always wearing like tights that you not even like hose like she's even when she's at that party and maybe it's just because it's cold and it's winter time or whatever and she doesn't want her little legs to get cold but I think it's like more about being like a chaste thing than like or conservative thing than it is about
so guys Mary is like a very Mary is sort of like a gift from like something like she's
Mary may or may not be Paimon.
Mary maybe will save Housewives from being boring.
Yeah.
So
she's
she
also
wait, okay, so I just need to, we need to go over a few things. So Mary is the first lady of her church. Her husband is the pastor. And this she's the first so she's like the second she's like they're like the king and queen of their church.
Okay. Did he invent this church?
So this is like the kind of like they're speaking in tongues at this church. Like we see a quick shot of Mary sort of at the pulpit
like
speaking in tongues.
Yeah, like a Pentecostal like.
So Mary is married to her step grandfather, mm-hmm. who, and I read. Did I send you that link?
I don't think so.
Okay, someone sent me a listener sent me a Reddit link that was all about Mary and like the realty on her church.
Wait, no, I want to maybe so, you did. I don't know. Mary, if I saw it. Hang on.
So here's the deal. I'm going to do a quick like.
Tell me the rundown. Blow my fucking mind.
So Mary, her grandmother and this guy, it's not her biological grandfather, but her grandmother and him were the original pastor and first lady. They started this church together. It's like a full Pentecostal, like revivalist, like, you know, speaking in tongues kind of church. Mm-hmm. And he's been in that position. He's basically like worshipped as a god. Like he's worshipped as God, like
within
God is
their church.
Yeah, his church, his followers see him as God, and they did see Mary's grandmother as God, but then she died, and she had it in her will, according to them, that if anything should happen to her early, that he should marry one of her granddaughters. So, Mary's mother is her daughter. They have a bunch of kids, and I guess when she died, he and Mary started fucking, and she. He came to all of her children, his stepchildren, and said, do I have permission to marry Mary? And Mary's mother said, fuck no. Everyone else agreed. Everyone else was like, go for it, marry her. Mary's mother, not only did she not agree, she left the church, took like half the followers with her, and started a new church where she is also worshipped as God.
Queen. Honestly, get a camera on her because we need it.
So Mary is like basically a cult leader, and she, according to this, it's allegedly. I'm not gonna
according to this alleged, like Reddit deep dive.
It's a Reddit. Who fucking knows what this person is? Just like a bitter person. But according to this person, Mary is a cult leader, and she, like they all have a lot of the income of their followers go to them personally, like their wealth. So they're very wealthy. It's kind of like a scam, it sounds like, according to this person.
Fantastic.
And Mary left for 3 years, according to this person, allegedly left, and came back and had a new face. She went to New York because she had some sort of ailment that her grandmother also suffered. Mm-hmm. And when she came back, according to this person, allegedly had a new face.
Boss anyway, bitch moves.
So Mary is married to her grandfather, and the whole... Everyone in the area knows about it, and they all think it's fucking weird.
When you're married to your grandfather, anything you say, like, you actually can't make an argument about anything because it always will come back to, you're married to your fucking grandpa. So, like, you can't actually tell me shit.
But they don't give a shit.
No. Mary says, they'll get over it. Just digest it. And I wrote, will they, though? Who will get a... I mean, I guess, like, her family got over it pretty quick.
Not her mom.
But will anyone truly get over this? I think that she's about to find out that most people won't get over it.
No, it's clearly going to be a theme.
Like, you're but married
Whitney's
to your grandpa.
Whitney's over it.
Whitney is literally like, doesn't care. And she's a non-judgmental friend.
She's like kind of, I think Whitney's a little, I think she likes Mary because Mary's kind of wild.
And I think Whitney might be looking for like a new, like Whitney could be sucked into like a Nexium kind of vibe. Because Mary is also trying to get Whitney to come to her church and like see how she feels about it. And Whitney is like, sure, I'll go. I mean, we'll see. But I feel like she could be sucked in.
So yeah, Mary's amazing. She's going to have great zingers. She's like already like she comes out with some like real blows. Like she comes out with a bang. Like she's guns blazing. Like
she's feuding with Jen because they used to be friends.
They bonded over their love of fashion.
Yeah, but then Mary one day said that Jen smelled like a hospital. And we find out that Jen and Mary were going to meet for dinner. And Jen went to dinner to meet up with Mary. And she had just come from the hospital where her aunt was getting both of her legs amputated. And when she went to hug Mary, Mary almost puked and like freaked out because Jen smelled like a hospital and Mary couldn't take the smell. And she was like, you smell like hospital. Like, I actually can't. And then Jen was like, how dare you say this to me? Like, my aunt just had both her legs amputated. And so that caused a total fissure in their relationship that they have yet to recover from this argument.
Mary has no, like, she's not remorseful at all about what she said.
No.
And she's like, not only that, she's like doubles down on it and is like, I have a thing about hospitals and I just don't like it. And the smell like triggers me because I've died on the hospital table twice.
Well, we'll get to that because she shares her story later, but she kind of like foreshadows like she and hospitals have a dark history. And so when she smells a hospital, like it takes her to a place of nunca and she has to set a boundary somewhere. And unfortunately, Jen smelled like a hospital. So like, what was she going to do?
So Jen's on the outs.
Yeah.
But Whitney's
like,
she
isn't invited.
Yeah, Whitney's like, I shouldn't be telling you this, but I just got a text. But Jen has invited me to Meredith's birthday party, and she told me not to tell anyone. And then Mary goes, oh, I'm probably not invited. And then she gets a text, and she is invited. She goes, that's funny. Didn't think I would be.
Meanwhile, at the Shaw Chalet, Jen is getting ready for the party of the century. And
Jen is ordering around her staff with a reverb microphone.
With a children's reverb microphone.
She has three assistants. They're all terrified except Stuart, who's just like cool as a cucumber because he knows where the bodies are buried. But everyone else is like, she has like a whole team there for this event. They're turning it into Studio 54. In quotes. And she's ordering people, literally going, okay, 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 you, over there, over there, over there.
She goes, everyone, to the office. She's flying by the seat of her pants, I think. Mm-hmm. And then at one point, she's just pushing a Swiffer around in, like, high-heeled spiky Louboutins. And I was like, You're a goddess.
She is. We don't know. Allegedly, the party is for Meredith, as we said, but we know this party is actually for Jen.
This party is 1,000% for Jen. Like, nothing about this party says Meredith. Not even, like, the step and repeat.
Yeah, they build a huge, like...
Happy birthday, Meredith.
No, the step and repeat says Shaw.
It says Shaw Chalet.
they have one of those, like, tunnels, which I love. Those, like, tarp white tunnels that we do.
Yeah, it was really like Elton John's Oscar party has those. And it was like giving me Elton John fabulosity. Mm-hmm. And so Heather comes over to like get ready at Jen's chalet. And Jen tells her that Lisa said that she doesn't remember her / she was a good time girl. And this infuriates Heather.
Yeah, Heather's just like, I don't understand why you would like not only lie, but like say something that's like not true.
Mm-hmm.
I guess those are the same things. Lying and saying something that's not true.
I don't understand why you would lie, but also have the audacity to say something that's totally untrue.
No, she's just like, she's like, it's clearly we knew, like I knew her. Like I have proof. Like she's like, she doesn't understand why Lisa would go so far in the lying spectrum.
Yeah, because Heather's like, I was a virgin until I got married. And then she works herself up into a frenzy and she goes, I would have loved to have been a good time girl in college. I would have loved to go to a real school and been in a real sorority. And like, she goes in and I was like, damn, she really was like, all these peak college experiences were ripped from Heather's fingers.
Yeah.
She's not a good time fucking girl.
But I like that Jen immediately told her.
Yeah, it was a best friend.
Jen's loyal.
Yeah. Then we got to Brooks, who has now become his family's gay servant, just doing the parental, like,
bidding.
So Seth has had Brooks arrange all these roses and candles for Meredith's birthday, and he's FaceTiming. Because he's not going to be there. And he's FaceTiming with Brooks, and Brooks is like, are you coming home to be here? And he's like, no. And then he shows him, like, all the roses. And then Seth gets off the phone with him right when Meredith comes home.
Yeah. It was a little, like, it was sad. Like, he was like, you would think that he could just jaunt home for her 48th birthday.
Yeah. Also, I was like, who's going to clean up all the shit? Because it's literally, like, it's rose petals like everywhere for, like, nothing.
Yeah, he's like, she's, like, right here. And you want to talk to her?
He's like, he's no, like,
yeah.
When Meredith comes in the door, even she's like, oh, it's so pretty. It was just like a weird, it's like, I think they're trying to have their storyline be like, we're separating, so we're going to just see that through on this season. But that's not stopping them from like pretending, like they have to like do the pretend we're together, like last shred of the relationship kind of act.
It was like a real like, man, like, oh, a woman will like this. Mm-hmm. Like, she'll love her house to be completely flooded with rose. Like, when in reality, I'm sure, like, she probably was like, that's a lot of shit to have removed.
Yeah, like,
from my nice home.
Want to just sit and watch TV, but
I have to work and like, now I have to, like, vacuum. Brooks is like, I'm going to have to clean this shit up.
No, Brooks is absolutely going to have to clean it up. Had to lay it all out there, and he's going to have to clean it up when the day's over. He hugs Meredith, and she goes, wow, this is pretty. And he goes, it's from your husband, my father. And I just wrote, Brooks, come to LA.
I know.
You need to get into a city. Like, get out of Utah.
Go back to Chicago.
Maybe go to New York. Go to LA. Like, you got to get out of Utah.
He's an LA gay, I think.
Yeah, he seemed LA gay to me. I feel like he could really find his place out here.
Mm-hmm.
And then Utah's only a hop, skip, and a jump away. It's a really short flight or drive. And, like, you could go see your mom whenever, but, like, you got to get out. If you come to LA, look us up. We'll, like...
Yeah, we'll take you to dinner.
Yeah, we'll take you to Pump.
Maybe Meredith is... Maybe Meredith needed him at home because she could only do the show if she had Brooks.
Maybe. I'm excited to see where their relationship goes, but I need Brooks. Like, I hope that this Brooks saves himself.
It's kind of next level having a gay child. None of them have had gay children that we know.
No one's had an openly gay kid?
Mm-mm.
Chic.
Meredith and her husband talk, and he's like, hey, baby, like, you know, do you like it? And she's like, yeah, it would have been nice to have you here, but it's cool.
He's like, you're a year older than me now. Bleh. Trolls her for being an old hag. And then I just wrote, they're headed for destruction. Like, yeah, this
She goes, I hate when you do that to me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's like a few months younger than her. He does it every year. He trolls her. And she's like, oh, this is like, let's pretend that we still have, like, intimacy.
The party is about to begin, and everyone's arriving to walk the red carpet tunnel, and you see Meredith and Brooks, and she's making Brooks zip her up, and I was just like, oh, lol, dying.
Yeah, so Brooks is her date to the party, which I love. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's zipping mommy up in her beautiful dress. Also, I'm like, is this my future where... my gay son just sticks around forever and I'm like, zip me up in my feather dress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I love that.
One time when I was when I was a kid, I got my mom a Heart of the Ocean necklace at the Secret Santa shop when it was like right after Titanic came out, and it was like plastic. And my mom was getting ready for a Christmas party, and I was like, "You have to wear this." And she was like, "Oh, like, this doesn't go with my outfit." And I was like, "Please." So she went, "Okay," and she put it on for me, and then took it off in the car. But I was like, "Mom, you need." I was like helping her.
I love that. I thought you were going to say you gave it to her, like how Billy Zane gives Kate Winslet, where he's like, "Close your eyes," and then like puts it around her neck.
No, I gave it to her. I gave it to her like before, and then I was like, "Are you going to wear it?"
Oh.
I like wanted her to wear it. But I felt his vibe in that moment.
Yeah. My little gay son who buys me the Heart of the Ocean. That's like truly all I've ever asked for.
She was like, and I liked her answer. Oh, honey, it doesn't go with my outfit.
Yeah, that's real. I'm like, try again. I love neutral diamonds. I really only wear silver jewelry.
Yeah.
So just for next time. But love this. It's super cute. I'll wear it in the car.
I'll wear it out to the car. Yeah. So they go to the party. They walk down the red carpet.
There's some real characters arriving at this party. There's a woman who looks kind of like Betsy Johnson, who has like platinum blonde hair with bangs that we cut to like multiple times. And I was like, who is she? Like, I need to know more.
I liked Heather's entrance. Mm-hmm. Heather walked solo down the red carpet. And then she went, "Ooh, this is so nice in here." And then some hot guy. So Jen has like a bunch of like male, basically like male strippers with like insane bodies passing out drinks. And this one guy's passing out champagne when you get there. And then Heather goes, she goes, "Hi, what's your name? I'm Heather." So I just
Heather's
love
on the fucking prowl. She's horned up and ready to go.
She is. And I love it.
There's also like a white hat lady that I was really intrigued by.
Heather goes into where Jen's getting ready, and this woman walks in who kind of gave me Sarah Winchester vibes, who, if you don't remember, she was in Real Housewives of Orange County when Heather Dubrow was on, and she had a party at her house, and she had a giant cake, and Sarah Winchester, like, was a friend of, was it Gretchen or Alexis Bellino? One of those flops, and she, she, like, took... There was something... Heather had this, like, intricate thing on top of the cake, and Sarah just took it off and ate it before, like, impulsively. And then was like, "I can do what I want." She just gave me those vibes.
Yeah, this Sarah... This woman's name is also Sarah.
No.
She is on another planet.
She walks in holding a giant box going, "Woo!"
She's a happy birthday to... Whose birthday is it? And then she was like, "It's your birthday, though." And Jen was like, "It's not my birthday." She goes, "My birthday's in October," and she was like, "What? I'm confused." And yeah. I just wrote, "Need more Sarah."
We need more Sarah, and then we need more Carrie, who we'll get later.
Yeah, we'll get to Carrie very soon. But like, Sarah is a must because it cuts to her like later, and she's still like serving up like kind of confused Sarah energy.
Happy birthday
to whose birthday is it again? She does like baby voice, like hot baby voice, and she is one of those women that's like. Like a Barbie, but teetering around on her heels that could just like teeter over at any time. Mm-hmm. So she's both like fragile and hot and like an airhead.
she's like three children stacked on top of each other.
Yeah. She literally is three 12-year-old girls that were like, "We want to be on this show that our mom watches all the time." And they like decided to dress up as a person and like show up in Salt Lake City. They got on like Reddit message boards to figure out how to get invited to this party and then became like part of the scene.
Yeah.
And they were like, "Maybe mommy will pay attention to us now that we're on TV." That is Sarah.
She's on the TV.
Wobbling.
Yeah.
How she manages to stand is beyond.
The rest of the ladies arrive. Meredith and Brooks arrive, and they like kind of they clock the Shaw's Chalet thing, and Meredith is kind of like, "Cool." Meredith gets it. She knows she's not getting her, like, it's not really about her tonight.
It's kind of nice, though, like, when someone has a party on your birthday. Like, I had a friend that did that for me one time where it was, like, it began as my birthday party, but then just turned into, like, a house party rave. And I was, like, I wasn't mad at it. I was, like, this
isn't... I've had that before, too. It's
I think it's nice. It takes all the pressure off of you to, like, do anything. And then you just get to, like, party.
Yeah. Meredith and Jen have similar outfits on.
Mm-hmm.
I loved
That pink, they're really having a fuchsia moment. And then Lisa arrives and her fur is just draped around her shoulders, which is a real power move. It's a Rachel Zoe throwback. And it just is a super cut of her going, love your jacket, love your cane, love your hat, love your hair, love your whole everything, to like she just works the room. I love love your cane,
love your cane. Love that.
Love your cane.
Mary arrives.
I just wrote, Mary is living on the edge of sanity as we know it.
Yeah. She might be almost like a one season housewife, I think.
She could prove to be too much. Like
a supernova. Because Danielle Staub only could last as a main housewife for two seasons. It could be that kind of situation.
I think we could get two really good seasons, but I would worry for the franchise once Mary's out. Because she's a chaos agent. There's no rhyme or reason to anything that she does.
But it works.
It works. And I love she's just like dressed in Valentino from head to toe.
Incredible.
And a white tight.
Yeah.
And she is making jokes. She disapproves, I think, of like the sexy caterer guys. I don't want pubic hair in my food. Am I right? And she's like, I'm just joking.
They're like blinking.
They were like, whoa. Then it's like there are literally 15 people at this huge party that she moved all the furniture out of her house for and like had it redone. I was like,
just so big we can't see everyone.
I really think that there's 10 people there.
No, Laura, I also think
early in the night.
Well, no, Heather also says at parties like this, Mormons kind of hide so they can party.
So are they hiding?
I think there actually might have been a lot more people there that didn't want to be on camera.
They're just like pocket Mormons hiding in the rafters.
Because she's like, this is people who aren't Mormon, like get blackout. And the people who are Mormon are like hiding in the wings. Like chugging.
So bizarre.
Right?
I'm ready to catch some like Mormons in the act. The camera crew goes on a fucking rampage, just throwing back curtains. And there's just like a group of like 30 Mormons sharing like... Just like passing around blow. Yeah. It's passing literally like the final scene of like The Shining where every room is like something crazy happening. Yeah. Like throw in a door and some guy's blowing another guy and like it just is like bedlam in a bear costume. Yeah. Then we have a moment where some dancers come out, some like Tongan dancers, and Jen says she flew them in from Tonga because she wanted to incorporate her heritage into Meredith's birthday party.
Don't they ask her like, what is this party about?
They go, how do your Tongan dancers relate to Meredith's birthday? And she goes, well,
my Tongan dancers relate to Meredith's birthday. They don't
at all.
It's for me. But I was trying to think, this party is probably a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah, it looks very expensive. Again, where is the money coming
from? Like, where is it coming from? But we're going to find that out, I think.
Then here's the big moment of truth where Lisa and Heather are finally going to maybe say hi to each other. And Heather's standing waiting to receive Lisa. And Lisa breezes past her and goes, hi! How's it going? Good to see you. And then walks off like without even kind of making like eye contact or like stopping to even really say hello. She gives Heather her the ultimate blow off. Heather is furious.
Yeah, she looks like she's about to cry. It was mean.
It was mean. Don't fuck with Heather like that.
I've always wanted to do that though.
I feel like I've probably done that. I've pulled a Lisa on some people before.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, and then Heather says something about like, oh, she's like those second, what is it? Second tier or second wave Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
Who are like, she's basically saying like, does she look down on me because I'm divorced or like.
Yeah. Is that.
I think Lisa looks down on me because I'm not in the, really like in the church anymore.
Damn. So it's like more of like a religious thing even. And
I think Heather was trying to say like sometimes the people who come into it later in life are more hardcore than like the people who were born into it.
Wow. Then Mary and Jen have a moment to try and clear the air on their feud.
Clear that ER air.
And it really doesn't go well because
it goes horribly.
Jen's like, it was really fucked up that you said that I smelled like a hospital that day not so long ago. And Mary tries to explain. She says she had surgery to get her odor glands removed, which is that glands a thing? Again. I don't know. But there's a war on glands in Salt Lake City. We're now on the front lines of the war on glands. And she said, I had surgery to get my odor glands removed and they lost me twice on the dining table. And I was like, on the dining table? I'm like, where was this surgery? Were you in your literally like, what is going on the dining table?
It was performed in their church reception area.
They're like, they lost me twice because we actually just did it at home on the dining room table because we don't believe in modern medicine.
That actually makes more sense now that I think about it, that it was perhaps done in the home.
So then that could kind of make sense because when she smelled a hospital, she's mad that she wasn't at the hospital and she was actually just on her dining room table getting a gland removal surgery.
Or she just has, I mean, people are very phobic of hospitals in general. So maybe she just has like such a strong.
Maybe she had to go aversion. To the hospital and she hates hospitals because of her religion. And so when they lost her doing this at home dining room gland removal, she ended up in the hospital and she's so traumatized from having to go to a place. There's a lot of things that aren't adding up about her history, her. I understand a hatred of hospitals and hospital smell, but Mary's specific journey and backstory and origin story for her hospital hatred is extremely sus.
But I would like to know.
I would like to know, what was this surgery? Where did this surgery take place? Who performed it? And how did you die during it? Twice.
Dying twice is incredible. Did she see heaven? Did she meet God? Did God tell her that she was doing right by him?
And did God congratulate her for marrying her grandfather?
Did he say you're right out of all, you guys are right?
Did she die and go to heaven and then God was like, you're fucked up for marrying your grandfather? And then she came back alive and was like, fuck, and then died again to go back to heaven. And he was like, JK, bitch, like, I love it. You're amazing. And then she was like, cool. And then went back down.
It's very ancient.
I love it. It's like old school. Just go for it. You're not related.
Yeah.
He goes, they'll digest my blood. It. They'll get over it. She goes, yeah. Thank you.
Blood is thicker than water. Honey, don't have blood.
You got to take care of him. Who else is going to take care of him?
Yeah. Go for
it. Get back down there.
If more people married their step-grandparents, I think the world would be a better place. And she's like, I have to write that down.
Yeah. I'm going to start saying that at church. And he's like,
oh, and one other thing, and apparently in this Reddit thing, was that she decides who can date each other and marry each other in the church. Which is, that's according to that, allegedly.
Vanguard.
Very Jonestown. Yeah.
She is the vanguard of Salt Lake City.
She is.
Mm-hmm.
This is all alleged, guys. I don't know this for sure.
Just it's on Reddit. It's whatever.
So then she's like, I didn't. She starts saying, like, how does Carrie come up?
So Jen's like, yeah, you said I smelled like hospital. And she goes, I said it smelled like hospital or someone smelled like, then Mary is unclear on what she said. And then Jen was like, yeah, you did say that. And then she goes, oh, what Jen goes, yeah, you said that in front of me and Carrie. Like, you said that in front of both of us. And then Mary goes, was Carrie there that night? And Jen goes, yeah. And then Mary goes, where's Carrie? Where's Carrie?
Yeah, it's Carrie.
Where's Carrie? That's me. Where's Carrie? Whenever, that's me on a regular basis.
Yeah. Where's Carrie?
Where's Carrie?
Yeah.
When something funny happens.
That's like my friend when I would be at like a rave or something and I'd go to find drugs. Where's Carrie?
Where's Carrie? Where's Carrie? So Mary calls Carrie over to the couch and
Carrie's ready to go.
Yeah. And Mary goes, did I say it's you smelled like hospital?
And then Carrie leans in and she goes, yes, you absolutely did. Yes. She leans the fuck in and goes, yes, you absolutely told me. And you said that. And I was there and you said it in front of me. And I was there.
And then, but then Mary goes, I sure did say it. So she asked that. I was like, this woman's a genius for fighting like this because she is truly like, what? Like, what is the argument? I don't understand.
No, and there's no, the tactic is so strange.
The tactic is strange because she goes, did I say this? And then they go, did I, be honest, like, did I say this? And you, wait, I'm going to be Mary and you be Carrie. Did I say this thing?
Yes, you absolutely said it.
But I sure did say it.
And then it's just like, they're almost pulverized where they can't move.
No one knows what to do next. And then I love, and then Carrie is like, yeah, you said it. Like, you did. You said that we smelled like hospital. And then Mary goes, are you done? Because you can leave. When she called her over there.
Not only called her, she like called for her. Like she called was like, Carrie, her. Carrie.
She summoned her to the couch to get involved to say whether or not she said it. Then she.
Carrie got very involved and then she went, now you can leave.
Now you can leave. And then real king shit. I'm confused. Like my head is like in a million different places, like trying to understand this whole
tactic. Yes, you absolutely did.
Yes, you absolutely did.
Actually, yes, you did. I was there. I was. And she's like, clearly like wanted to be on the show. I was there.
Carrie was like briefly coached on like, so this, we're going to call you over and then like, just she's have like, this conversation.
I took an acting class in college.
Yeah. She's trying to like make sure she's in the frame. It's like,
I took an acting class at BYU. I was majoring in the theater at BYU.
Took an online course at BYU. It was just a 6-hour course on online of acting.
I've got it.
Yes, you did.
You absolutely said that in front of me.
You absolutely said that in front of me.
Thank you.
Are you done? You can leave.
And they're all just like, what?
What? And then it cuts to her, Mary, in a talking head, and she goes, I'm freaked out. Yeah, they smell like hospital. Like, why are you even at a hospital? Why is your aunt getting her legs amputated? Like, that's unhealthy. Like, drink water.
Yeah, she goes... She goes, that's on you. She goes, that's your diet. You're not eating right. And she goes, drink some water. I was like, oh, God. Drink water.
You can't go to a place and drink water when someone, I mean, that's like, it was maybe like a diabetes thing. We don't know. We don't know, but that's a wild position to take after alienated a formerly great friend by telling them they reek of hospital after their family member went through like a traumatic surgery.
Yeah, Jen's like, she raised me. Like Jen was like, this woman was very important to me.
And
Mary's like, saying,
Oh my God, you smell like hospital. Like that's a crazy behavior.
It is.
And Mary goes, I have a dark place with that smell.
We know.
And so now
you went to the afterlife.
You went to literally the afterlife where God trolled you and then lolled with you. And then now you're trolling and lolling everyone else that you meet. No one knows what to even make of you.
It's the way of God.
It's the way of God. She is literally carrying out God's plan. Mm-hmm. So then we'll just see where things go from here because it's left on a to be continued. It's really just TBD from here on out.
It's incredible, though. Like, the show is really bringing it. I haven't been this excited about a new franchise since I first started watching Dallas, but this is better than Dallas.
This is really good. I'm in it for Mary. I both fear and respect her, but ultimately fear her.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to see where she takes us, because she is the second coming of Danielle Staub.
You also, we see a preview for the upcoming season, and there's a point where they're all like in some kind of costume wear at a dinner, and Jen goes, "Oh, so you're going to go hang with Mary, who married her grandfather?" So this is going to be a running theme for old Mary.
You can't marry your grandpa. You can't. And then you can't ever say anything again. When you're marrying a family member, like, Clueless might have normalized some of that. But that's a little bit different when it's like a hot stepbrother that you don't really.
Well, he's not even. And Josh was not related to them anymore.
He wasn't ever related. Parents, oh, yeah.
Well, his parents were divorced.
Oh, yeah. And they weren't. Yeah.
So they were like not. It's still a little weird.
Mary's grandfather knew her when she was a baby.
Yeah, I saw a photo of Mary. Jen tweeted a photo recently of how it started, how it's going. And it was a photo of Mary and her grandfather when she was a baby, and then them married.
No, she's already memeing Mary.
Yeah.
This feud. Jen, okay. Jen,
how it started, how it's going.
I love. Did I say that? Be honest. Did I say that? I absolutely did say it.
You're right, I did say it.
You're right, I did. I love being like, no, I
you
didn't.
You did say
I
that
didn't.
In front of
I
me.
I really didn't say it. Call Carrie over here, because I didn't say it. Was even Carrie did there? Did I say
Carrie
that?
There.
Was Carrie even there? Carrie, come here. Did I say that?
Yeah, I said it.
Yeah, I said it. I did say that. What?
It's one step above like Trump, how Trump is like so denying, but he'll just deny it. But Mary to go from denying to then being like, oh, it absolutely happened in one breath is like a new level of.
Yeah, I'm going to try that. My assignment to the listeners this week is try a Mary approach of an argument on someone just to see how it makes you feel, how it goes.
What their reaction is.
And I think it's actually like a deep power move.
Yeah. Oh, I think so, too.
Of both denying and admitting the same thing. Where can someone even go from there? There's nowhere. And then you shut it down.
Try saying, hi, how are you? And you can get away with that probably now because you're now everyone's wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a cold place, try wearing 6-inch strappy stilettos on a bank of snow.
That's the Jen challenge, is you must walk 50 feet in strappy stilettos through the snow. And I want to see it set to techno music of you just trudging through the snow. Stomping with purpose through the snow from point A to point B.
I'm excited for this season. I'm excited to be on this ride together. I'm so happy that we're all watching it. It's a mystery to all of us where this is going. So everyone,
we're all in it together.
We're all in this together as many things. Just like United Against COVID, we're all in watching The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City together.
And stay tuned, because there's another episode of Insatiable Bitch Goddesses coming out on Thursday.
You can follow Lara at Lars Marie.
Follow Carrie at eCarrieO.
You can write into the Patreon and to the podcast at
sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com. And if you want bonus episodes, ad-free episodes, etc., go to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
It's worth it.
It's so worth it. I can't even begin to explain.
Love you, Lara.
Love you. Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card.
This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.